please.
Koch?
Here.
Transier?
Here.
Milshewski?
Here.
Plocher?
Here.
Funkhauser?
Here.
Frieders?
Here.
Chirulis?
Here.
Peterson is currently absent.
He will be.
We have a quorum.
Excellent.
Where is that?
Okay.
He's running in the door.
Oh, that's fine. I'll just wait a moment. I'll just mark all items for him. I'll do a roll call for him now. Let's get him.
Alderman Peterson?
Present.
We have a quorum.
You're here for roll call. Perfect. Okay, I would like, if you're all willing, I'd like to have somebody move the old jail to immediately after citizen comments. I guess is there two citizen comments? Yeah, the first citizen, yeah, not the second one. The first citizen comments. We have quite a few items on the agenda. That way we can tackle that item first. So I'll move Mr. Koch second by Milshewski. Any discussion? Any other changes? All in favor, signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, excellent. So, let's pass. Presentations. Do we have any presentations tonight? Public hearings? No public hearings. Citizen comments on agenda items. Are there any citizen comments on agenda items? Please step to the microphone and state your name.
Hello, Lisa Milanovic here from Wisconsin Preservation. I just want to invite everyone for refreshments afterward. If what we think is going to happen happens tonight, we have refreshments. We provide that with a lot of hope and join us for a joyous occasion.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And we will be having an executive session, so maybe, but that could be a ways away. Might need more than that, depending on the session. Any other citizen comments on the agenda today? Seeing none, we will move to the item we moved up, which is the old jail. We have an ordinance, ADM 2018-88 and EDC 2019-69, approving a redevelopment agreement for the old jail. Is there a motion to approve such?
So moved.
Frieders was that? Who was second?
Oh. The funk.
Who was it? Did you get them both?
I was one, he was two.
Funkhauser, okay. Okay, so we have that agreement in here. Are there questions or comments from the city council? Bart, do you want to give a quick summary at all? Does anyone from the city council care to hear a quick summary? Are you just ready to vote on it?
Well, let's vote.
Without objection, we'll take a roll call, please.
Transier?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Chirulis?
Aye.
Motion carries.
We'll take a 10-minute break so they can cut the cake. Since we didn't have this stuff. Thank you very much. We will continue with our agenda. There's no consent agenda. Minutes for approval. Are there minutes in here?
There are no minutes.
No minutes for approval? Hey, that's awesome. Okay, bills for payment. We have payments $1,039,141.40 for vendors. And notice, there's none of these are for last fiscal year. $286,206.21 for the payroll ending 8-9 for a grand total of $1,325,347.61. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
By Koch. First by Peterson. Discussion? Roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Chirulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Next, we have the mayor's report. I have a couple items that are not listed on here. The first is city council. I hope we'll be happy to hear this. I was contacted by the Lennar developers today, and they closed on the bonds for the development, Raintree 2, is that Raintree 2? And they're hoping to close on the property tomorrow, so it sounds like that's a go forward. And I texted him and asked if he'd bring the check today, but he said it'd be about 30 days. But anyway, so congrats to you all on that. This is just a productive day, just outstanding. Next thing is, and I know, Mr. Frieder, you wanted to talk about hometown days because Director Evans is not here today.
Yes, Director Evans is at his monthly Olympic weightlifting competition. let me get this right. Come on out to Yorkville's largest event of the year. The United City of Yorkville Hometown Days Festival is scheduled over Labor Day weekend, Thursday, August 29th through Sunday, September 1st, at Beecher Park at 908 Game Park Road in Yorkville. This festival is packed with events and activities the entire family is sure to enjoy, including carnival wristband specials on Saturday and Sunday from 1 to 5 p.m., Pet Fest on Saturday, August 31st from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., Ladies Afternoon Out, Wine Tasting on Sunday, September 1st from 1 to 5, Hometown Happy Hour, Saturday, August 31st from 2 to 6, Music and Mingle with Characters on Saturday, August 31st from noon to 3 p.m., as well as an amazing lineup of bands, including Building 429, The Little Mermen, that's not my band, Whiskey Romance, Boy Band Review, that is my band, and High Infidelity. Also, the Ultimate Air Dogs competition is back again and ready to put an amazing show on throughout the entire weekend. For a complete list of events and more information, go to Yorkville's website.
Very good. Very well done.
Yorkville.il.us.
That's excellent. I need to have you do a commercial. So everything is, Mr. Frieders, you had an event at your subdivision.
I sure did.
Saturday, that went pretty well.
That went incredible. Thanks to Chief Jensen for sending out Sergeant Carlisle and a couple other officers from the YPD. We had the Run the Whispers 5K. It's our second annual. While sometimes people think that I do everything, I did nothing. I was just the eye candy. We had over 120-something runners. We had competitions as best 80s gear, most garbage picked up along the route. We had most unnecessary sports equipment, a whole bunch of separate categories, but we raised, and I'm speaking before I know the final totals, but I know it's around $5,000, which is more than double of last year. So just further proof that if you want to do something and you have a mouth that is big enough, throw a party, talk to Lisa, she'll help you get accredited as far as licensing is concerned, and then you can raise a whole bunch of money for a whole bunch of cool people. So thank you for showing up, Mr. Mayor. It was great to see you.
It's great weather. Great event.
That was fun. That was your gift. Thank you.
Yeah. We'll promise it next year. Got it. Okay, next thing we have are a couple appointments to boards and commissions. For PZC, we have Greg Millen, and then for the park board is Victor Prez. Victor's here. I don't know if you want to say hi at all or not. That's Victor.
Hello.
He's not required to be here, but he said he wanted to be here. And so I would ask for a motion and a second for those.
Motion.
I heard Frieders and Peterson. That's awesome how fast that is. Any discussion? All in favor, signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Excellent. We're moving along. Okay, next item for discussion under the mayor's report is it's listed as adult use cannabis. So as you all know, I'm guessing you all know, the state, contrary to federal law, is allowed cannabis to be legalized or legally used for anyone who's 21 years of age or older as of January 1st. Is that correct?
Yes.
Next year?
Yes.
And there are several things we need to discuss as an organization. One is whether or not we want to allow the sales within city limits. We're not required to. There's pros and cons. The second is it does impact some of our handbooks and policies, correct? And then the third is how is it going to impact the PD and how we handle some things, whether ordinance violations or not. So, Bart, I don't know if there's anything you want to touch on a high level. No pun intended. I was trying not to use that word. I
did. Dad joke.
Just to give the group just a couple bullet points.
Yeah, a lot of the conversation around public safety, policing, local ordinance violations, manual changes, etc. Those are a little bit more or less discretionary. We need to do things in order to address the law that's coming in front of us here. So we'll be talking about those at committee over the next month or two. But really the biggest question is whether we want to allow sales in town. So way. Then there's a number of zoning regulations and taxation conversations that we need to have. And if not, I'm sure that Kathy would recommend that we still pass an ordinance that says so. So one of which is significantly more staff time than the other. And so we wanted to just make sure that the conversation started with the entire group before we started to break out into committees for some of the lower level issues.
So one thing, Kathy, you did state, if we take no action, then it is not allowed. So we would need to take some type of affirmative action to allow it in the city, correct?
Correct.
So, if, for example, if we decided we wanted to allow it, but we want to go through this and it takes 8 months, then it wouldn't be until the city passed ordinances allowing it that, you know, they could apply. So I'm open for any comments. Dan, did I see your hand? Oh, no. Okay. Questions, Mr. Frieders?
So, I spent about 8 hours yesterday doing research, and I hit update thinking it was quick. So, all 420 words that I had written are now unavailable. I think we have a couple decisions that we should be making as far as how the license impacts us in Yorkville. I think the zoning for like a cultivation facility, that's like an M1, M2. But as far as retail sales go, and there was some language in there about making sure that one's not too close to another, I can't even say I highly doubt because then I would be guilty. But I highly doubt that there would be two businesses that would go right next to one another unless they were kind of complementing one, the other business. The only real question I had about the language that was in our documentation was I know that cardholders have like a limit that they can purchase per day. So some of them are 2.5 ounces, and then they can go up to 5 if they apply and pay an extra fee. That was the only thing that I didn't see in there. I don't know what the recreational... sun's killing me. I don't know what the recreational, or excuse me, adult use maximum is at time of purchase. You had mentioned possession amounts in some of the language, but it wasn't so bad, or it wasn't so blatant that somebody could basically stock up and supply a small town, which is probably a good move. But as far as kind of prohibiting this or stopping it, I think that's a little presumptive. You have state recommendations, and I've learned over the last 24 hours that the state of Illinois is basically leading the charge as far as the quality is concerned. A few years ago, we were at IML, and they had a full presentation about how they were more concerned about the quality of the marijuana than the actual legalization of the marijuana. Thank you, Eric. And I thought that was kind of funny, because with any industry, good product will be sold and resold and resold, and they'll make more of it, and bad product will just eventually fall off the shelves, and it will expire and throw it away. Come to find out that the quality that Illinois was focusing on was microbiological content, the content of the plant itself to find out what specific types of THC and CBD are involved in it, as well as the fact that they have to pass the pesticide test, which, as someone who used to work pretty closely with little insects that would be negatively impacted by pesticides, and also the fact that we consistently consume pesticides, I was kind of happy to hear that Illinois is basically the leader in the entire country as far as making sure that what people are putting a label on, number one, is what they say it is, does not contain anything that could negatively impact anyone outside of the effects of the drug, be it THC or CBD. But more importantly, they're setting a standard that's almost impossible to just walk into. So we don't have the... some of the states that neighbor us have regulations that allow the black market growers the opportunity to kind of go... They go from like the minor league to the major league. In Illinois, they don't really have a minor league. You have to have incredible regulation on your product. And as I was learning more about the process of the cultivation office, they are under such incredible scrutiny that for us to assume that we're going to have any impact on what our residents are consuming or purchasing elsewhere, whether it's here or somewhere else, we can at least be assured that it's not going to be something like buying like the K1, whatever, the fake marijuana that you could used to buy at the cigarette shops in and around Yorkville, which they had a kid that drove right into somebody's house in North Aurora a couple years ago. So understanding not only that there's not much we can do as far as people using it, If you make something like this accessible, the likelihood of somebody finding a medical use that would benefit them, because I've been working in suicide prevention for about 3 years, and the one thing we don't call alcohol, but self-care, is pretty blatant. And we have a very social acceptance of alcohol, myself included. But we never take into consideration the fact that sometimes people use alcohol to care for themselves, because sometimes your whole day sucks. I know I look forward to a beer. When I get home tonight, cracking one. That's my self-care. So for me to say, morally, that you shouldn't do this because I do this is a little short-minded, a little shallow-minded, in my opinion. So I think we need to kind of roll with the tide, make the adjustments to the code as you can recommend in public safety, and make sure that it's something that you can kind of abide by. It doesn't make sense to put up a wall and say, no, we're not going to allow the sale of this, because eventually you're going to be overruled. But also, we know that there are a number of candidates coming down on the federal level that are talking about full-scale, you know, decriminalization. So in my humble opinion, I think it makes more sense to roll with it and make sure that it's hospitable in Yorkville. Not something that you're going to put across the street from a daycare, but maybe across the street from a retirement center isn't a bad idea. I mean, they've lived their entire life having access to alcohol. I'll tell you that I deal with people that suffer from MS, lupus, Lyme's disease, and the things that people deal with that we just kind of take for granted is a little ridiculous. So if you give someone access to this stuff, and I will tell you that the people that work on the dispensary side of things understand what type of THC is good for what. I have a family member dealing with memory loss, and I'm like, the joke is the THC negatively impacts the memory. Well, did you know that THCA is actually beneficial to people with memory loss? I learned that once you let pot kind of expire after 30 days, it slowly develops THCV, which is good for spasmodics. I know a number of people that I went to school with that played sports that they have unnecessary tics. They don't have to get high from something to see the benefit of it. We've been selling CBD in my family pharmacy for the last 3 years. People literally come in and swear by it. So whether or not you believe in it or you have a moral, you know, objection to people consuming these things, I'm sorry, you're out of luck. History has passed you by. It's going to be legal in a few months. So whether or not you want to live in that type of environment, that's totally up to you. But I think it's stupid of us to prohibit anything. We just have to make sure that it matches with what you can handle. And then, you know, $15,000 to $150,000 of extra tax revenue is pretty cool. Who knows? Maybe there could be a cool festival on the river. Just saying.
Other comments?
I just have one question.
Talk, yes.
I was reading in the packet. It talked about LGDF in the packet. And how is this tied in with the LGDF funds?
I don't know that. Absolutely. You know, answer.
Yes, I do. The marijuana is, as sold and dispensed, is at different tax levels. All of this, the tax collected by the state of Illinois is put into one pot. From that, there will be money, there is a percentage that goes to the state off the top. There is a percentage, there is 8% that's supposed to go to the local government fund. However, that before it goes to that fund, there is reimbursement to the Attorney General, state's attorneys for expungement of records, and one other organization dealing with some aspect of cannabis. So they are saying approximately 8% after these deductions are made of the tax revenue derived from the sale of cannabis throughout the state shall be put into the local distributive fund.
Does that affect town by their decisions in age?
No.
So if you opted out, you still get the LGDF money?
Correct, if there's any money.
Yeah, it'd be a modest increase. It's a portion of the use tax, so it's a per capita based tax. And I would add to Joel's thing, arthritis could include for that. The more lucrative tax revenue is just local sales tax. So that would be, I would think, far in excess of whatever, you know, the incremental bump there is in LGDF.
The tax rate that you are permitted to impose with the city is 3% plus our local sales tax. So we would be able to tax at a rate of 5%.
The state controls the actual license process.
Correct.
For those who want to distribute in whatever municipality or county. Is that correct?
Correct.
But the municipalities still get to control how many of those dispensaries can be open.
We have zoning regulation. We have no license authority whatsoever.
So if 50 people applying for a license from the state of Illinois to open dispensaries here in Yorkville, and they all 50 get them, as long as they fit within the zoning regulations, 50 dispensaries could open.
Theoretically, I don't think that we have enough land to permit that with the existing radial requirements of the zoning laws that the state is required.
Right.
And then additionally, in that scenario, I would assume that we would then pass some zoning regulations that say, we're not going to have one on every street corner, it's only going to go in the zone. So
that's how the municipalities can control the amount of dispensaries, just zoning regulations, and not like a liquor license process where we say, you're not selling in Yorkville, or you are selling in Yorkville.
You can limit numbers, you can limit location between dispensaries, which is how you get to what Bart just said, and so you do have control as to the number and placement. You also have control of the time. They say it's time and manner. You can control if you have a dispensary, hours it shall be open, 7 days a week, 5 days a week, the hours opening and closing. The law initially had a provision that has been wiped out, 10 to 9 p.m. They have eliminated it. The state is going to impose it and has now left that to local government.
Chrissy, what are the restrictions on distances that you're aware of?
Off the top of my head, I don't know, but I believe residential from the state is about 1,000 feet from the actual location.
No, distance that is suggested under certain circumstances is about 1,500 feet. And so, this happened to me this morning, trying to prepare for any questions that you might ask. There was a House bill, and the House bill was amended, and so many people are reading a House bill as opposed to the final act. So I'm employing the final act and trying to determine what was left and what wasn't. But it doesn't matter because according to everything we've been told, especially by our own state's attorney, the trailer bills that are going to come forward in the veto session are going to answer some of the questions like that are still in a state of flux.
So to that point, if we don't know, for example, if it is 1,500 feet from a residential or wasn't a school, one of the other
No. Colleges and universities is the only thing that they've distinguished distance from. I guess they don't expect the little guys to smoke it, but they do expect those college students to get right at it.
But we have the ability to impose more strength.
But the state has maybe a 1,500 foot.
I know it's from colleges and universities, and
not from residential.
There wasn't any reference to residential. There were just references. Those are the things that are cleaned up. Oh, wait a minute. The last bill that I read was only single space 251 pages. So if I mistake or I misspeak, you'll have to forgive me. I didn't memorize it. I tried, but I didn't.
Other questions or comments?
Just a quick point, too. Reading further in the language, it talks about the schedule of the state. So right now we're at 55 dispensaries around the state in, 9 or something police districts as far as the grow operations are concerned. So 16 licenses for cultivars, and then some of the cultivating licenses also include the subsidiary licenses, so packaging, those who just kind of mix the oils with other products, whether it's edibles or
topicals.
Infusion, that's what I'm looking for. But it starts at 55, which is what we have now, and those are all probably going to stay predominantly medical for at least a portion of them. But then the next limit goes up to 265 throughout the state, and then 500.
The way it's going to work, as I understand it, there are 55 medical cannabis licensed facilities. They are going to get the first 55 licenses. As of January 1, there will be another 75, and then within a year, another 110. And what I don't know is the cap number.
That was like 265.
But that is the way they're going to tranche. Should I say it about in a name of...
You want?
One of the things that is part of the discussion, and not with regard to whether you want dispensaries or not within the city, but the suggestion is if you are going to permit that, that is something you should really approach and make a decision on first. After that, there's going to be a lot of work on the zoning, should you say yes. And after that, employment handle changes, and most importantly, which the chief and I already talked about, whether or not you allow them or not allow them, it's enforcement of the restrictions under the age of 21 in certain places. No public smoking any more than you can smoke a cigarette. So we will have to adopt a lot of local ordinances. But the theory is that these first trench of people that are applying now, other than the medical, the first 75, in order, once they are approved, they have so many days to get a location. So that those towns that don't want it make it easy. Those towns that do want it should say so, yes, so that you would have an opportunity to think about where, when, how, why. Or you might not be able to participate if your decision was ever to participate as a community that is willing to allow dispensing of marijuana.
So within the first year of the cycle, you said 55.
They're going to strictly to the medical, those that have already been approved as medical cannabis distributors.
So these... This is still not legal federally, is that correct?
Correct.
So are these businesses handling all cash?
One of the articles I read stated that there were some depositories that had some exceptions to federal rules that are available to provide banking services for this business.
Okay.
Now, the details, I'm
still going to... Other questions, comments? Mr. Funkhauser?
So, I would assume we'd have to make a decision if we want to do this or not, but then...
We may not have to make that tonight, though.
What's that?
We may not have to make that tonight.
Soon, but not tonight.
But my thought is it recommended that we make a decision on it? You know, if we were to say, yes, we want to allow it now, we could just make that decision, and then we come back, and after all the detailed work we get into the weeds on everything else, you know, our zoning, our administrative policies, if we decide that at that point we don't want it because it's going to be too cumbersome, it's going to be labor intensive on staff or whatnot, can we opt out after
that? To the best, everything I've read, there should never be anything to prevent you from opting out. You may even opt out after you have one or two and say, you know what, no more, until, you know, grandfathered to those that you have permitted to come in. And then no more. I have not read any restriction on anything like that.
To follow up. So maybe the conversation is better phrased as, do you want us to spend the time to research and draft ordinances that would allow the local sale or not, rather than do we want to allow it?
Let me follow up on Mr. Funkhauser's question. If we allow it, after, let's say we allow three, and a year from now or 18 months from now, we find out this is just not working out as well as we hope. It's bringing in revenue, but it's causing a problem A, B, C, and D. Can we change ordinance and now those businesses have to quit selling it?
In an ordinary course of business, any business that opens up that turns out to be a nuisance, you would have a hearing on removing the license. You would also complain because there are problems to the state of Illinois, who has a mechanism to receive complaints and not renew their license. That's as much as I know. I mean, locally, if we have a business that's not operating, we call them in and have a hearing and decide whether or not to revoke their license. I have not found anything that specific. I would assume the same rules would apply.
Okay.
The state has a whole hearing process, though, to remove the license.
And then, would it be considered as illegal non-conforming use of the zoning code at that point?
if it wasn't a nuisance, that's exactly right. That's what I said when I used the word grandfathering. It would be a legal nonconforming use if you said from this moment forward, no more.
So if we allow it and a future city council said, we want nothing to do with this, and they change the ordinance, you're stating that they may be allowed to operate?
Right. As long as they're operating within the rules and regulations as a legal nonconforming use.
Okay.
Because it was legally approved initially.
So if we do nothing now, we can decide to do something in 12 months, 18 months again? If we...
I don't know of any prohibition on that.
Okay, so there's nothing requiring us to act positively to take it, or to accept it today or allow it today. But that would prohibit us from doing it in the future. Okay. Mr. Funkhauser?
January 1st, we have to make a decision.
No.
If we want to go
back. If you want to, you should make it.
Right.
I think what Bart was saying, if the consensus is to allow, I think the staff needs time to present to you. There are numerous methods being considered to control it, special uses with special conditions and a lot of limitations and location. And so if the intent is, and you want it in place by January 1, the staff has a lot of work to do. Public hearings and all the zoning changes.
Yeah, so if we were to say we want it in place by January 1st, we have to get down into everything that we talked about. So all that needs to be in place by January 1.
No, you said you wanted it, so hopefully if anyone was interested, they come forward. We can say we want it, nobody comes to us.
Yeah, we're not on a major highway. With only 75 more, good luck. If I was going to build one, I sure wouldn't build it where it's hard to get to.
So you're suggesting you don't think Yorkville's viable?
No, I should say we'd look into it, but I would be very surprised if we have communities on major highways that are easy to get on and off, like say Morris, that has some things that we might not have here, would be more likely. And if I was to build one, that's probably where I would go first.
So let me ask you this. If your feeling is we have a lower than average chance or lower than half chance of getting it, why would we at this time, until they expand the number of licenses, why would we devote staff time to the sale of it when we still have the personnel stuff to deal with, all these other issues? Why would we not wait until they expand the number of licenses and see how it works in other towns?
Makes sense.
Because we're a hospitable economic developing engine.
Forward thinkers.
Yeah, like if there's something that's new and people are seeing a benefit from it, like some of the research that I've been doing over the last couple of days, and you have other cities to kind of use as an example as far as policy is concerned. Yeah, you got to adjust the map. Yeah, you got to go through your zoning districts. But you don't have to do it by January 1st, because I can guarantee there is not enough supply in this state as of January 1st to supply all of the people that will be in line at these dispensaries. And that's not trying to be funny. That's legitimate, because we have 16 grow operations and 55 dispensaries. And that's going to stay at 55. But now everyone and their mother can now legally, if they're over 21, go purchase marijuana. If the people who use this for medical conditions don't stock up in November and December, there will be none for the people who want to use it for adult use January 1. The number of cultivation licenses will take years to catch up with the supply and demand. This will not be something where it's boom, instant, there's just pot everywhere. That might be some of our dreams, but that's not reality. So when you're doing something like this, you're not asking for everything to be done by December 31st at midnight. You're saying that we have a plan set in motion. It's almost like compliance. Let's just say the federal government comes into your pharmacy and rips your whole business to shreds, and you have a compliance date of day one. Well, yeah, that's your goal. But legitimately, realistically, logistically, financially, is it really possible? If you spent every waking moment as a city employee working on pot districts, that is a waste of time. But it's not something to just wipe off your desk because it might not happen. Yes, we're working on it. And if someone comes towards us and says, hey, I want to do it, okay, we should probably get to it. It's not something that you have to stop and drop everything that you're doing. But if you say, yes, we are hospitable to a new small business who follows all of the state requirements, passes all of their background checks, comes out of pocket for a boatload of money, and they want to do it, that's when we press go a little bit harder than yes. We're in here.
Do you think there are no downsides to this? It's all positive?
I think most of the downsides are made up, and it's based on the idea that the way things are is the way that they should always be. And I've learned that my opinions change with new information, and if someone lives their life and sees a benefit from something that isn't negatively impacting me, and they can actually help pay for roads, why not let them do that? As long as they're not getting in the car and, you know, throwing stuff around and hitting people, they're not negatively impacting me. They're spending money the way that they want to spend money. It's like people that drink brandy. I don't get how you can drink brandy. That doesn't make you a bad guy. That's just what you're into. You have that right now. I will share brandy with you at some point, but I'm just saying, everybody has their flavors, right? But to restrict or to all out prohibit something that's going to be available everywhere is a little confusing. Let's be consistent. This is what we're going to go with because it's based on this.
But here, the question is not, do we allow people to consume it
right in
our town? The state has mandated that's legal. Mm-hmm. The question is, do we allow sales to take the tax revenue and just ignore that there might be some negative impacts from
this? Still going to have to do stuff through the ordinances, even if you don't sell it here. Right. Because you're going to have to come in from outside. You're still going to have to, staff is still going to have to work.
But yeah, I agree. But those are different. As we said, there's three different areas we need to look at. One is whether we should allow the sales in the city limits or not. Two is how does it affect our employment rules. And three is how do we handle those violations. Those violations, I agree, we're going to have to deal with that no matter what. We're going to have to deal with the others no matter what.
Same with the employee.
Absolutely. But the sales, that is something, what we're hearing is if we do not do anything at this point, nothing changes.
So the only thing you don't want to consider is what could potentially make the city revenue.
I want everyone to have a discussion in this and realize some people want to believe it's all positive. You know, for example, California's market, to your point, you know, there might not be enough supply. California's market, the research I've done, we can all do research I've done, it's actually shrunk. And there's a lot more of the black market because there's such high taxes to the point you raise, the state is going to make sure it's so pure and taxed so highly. And we can add our own local taxes. It's taxed so high, it's increased the black market. And there are grow houses and rental homes where people are taking this and they're growing it and they're transporting it over state lines or states where it's illegal because it's easier to transport from Illinois to Iowa than it is from Mexico to the United States. So it's not all positive. And what I want to have is a discussion that there are some pros and cons of this. If you all think you want to do it for tax revenue purposes, that's fine. I don't see any other benefit other than tax revenue purposes. I really don't. So if you want to have that, that's fine. But there's pros and cons. I know for a fact that when people are using this, it causes more deaths in the cars. So, are we going to encourage people to come to our town to buy it? If that's what you want to do, that's fine. But realize, it's not all just positive. If green is all you're looking for, that's fine.
But do you want somebody driving to Morris from our town and then getting high in the back?
So, they're less likely to use it if it's less available. And I'll give you an example. We had 2 weekends ago in downtown, we had a person who came out of, had visited a couple of the local establishments, was highly intoxicated, and damaged city property. If those bars weren't there, that wouldn't happen. So that does happen from time to time. Again, I'm not saying you shouldn't, but you should consider there are some impacts if you allow it. Now, maybe what you do is you say, you know what, we're going to allow it from 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, no weekends, no evenings, and maybe eliminate some of those things. But those are things to consider. The staff needs direction, and what I don't want to do is send them a wild goose chase with a bunch of time and then find out, you know what, we're not fair with this. I just think that's not fruitful use of the time. I've heard a couple of you speak, but I don't know what the rest think. Jack.
I'm glad that it's being legalized. I have an experience of a person in my family who went and got synthetic pot and ended up psychotic in a mental ward. I don't want to have anyone's family go through that horror. I know that it is getting legalized, regulated, put all those high restrictions, so it is good quality. And if you're going to buy it, make sure it's something good. And tax it. Let's get some money off of it. You're talking about the alcohol. Well, if we're not going to allow this, let's shut down every bar that we'll have in downtown, yeah, because it's all we have downtown for drinking establishments. And while we're at it, let's call all of our, the places that sell vaping equipment, and I don't know if I'd say because I don't know what it is, I'm not sure.
Again, I want to give directions to the staff.
I'm glad that it's going to be a better quality just because I've been there as a parent. I've watched this happen with one of my kids. It's awful. And no parent should have to go through that. If this can stop that, I'm all for it.
Because we allow the sales does not guarantee that the quality will be better. You know, again, do what you want. I don't want people to think just because we allow the sales, everything's going to be improved and better.
It's not. It's not going to be a perfect world, but... So you can get people high and driving. You got them drunk and driving. You got people filling themselves with cigarettes and vaping. They're doing lung damage and for secondhand smoke. So
people texting and
driving. People are texting and driving, yeah.
Whether or not the city decides to allow sales is not going to stop the residents of this city who want to use marijuana from going and buying. I don't know if this is going to be a shock to anyone, but there are people in this town right now who have marijuana. They're using it. Not legal yet, but they are. They can't go to the Walgreens and buy a six-pack of joints, but if we allow it, the people who want to use it are going to use it. They're going to buy it here in town. If we don't allow it, the people who want to use it are going to go use it. They're going to buy it somewhere else. So whether or not we allow it or don't allow it, it's not going to stop responsible adults for whom the law is written for making the decisions about what they want to put in their own bodies. That's what it's going to come down to for me. So.
That's fine. Siever, do you have any thoughts?
I guess my only comment would be, anybody here ever had Meniere's disease? Meniere's disease is the worst thing that can happen to you in terms of losing your balance. Everything spins. The room spins. Your head spins. You can't stand up. One of those sticks, to me, was worse than the worst case I ever had of Meniere's disease. I could not in any way support the sale use of that product under any circumstances. So that's my only comment.
That's fine. Chris, are you... Are you still on the fence and you want to...
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Okay.
This is one of those things, there's a lot that we need to drill down to. And I understand if we don't allow it to be sold, it's going to be used. We know it's going to be consumed. Now, is it going to be consumed in our parks? Not by state statute. Is it going to be consumed on public roadways? No, not by state statute. But we have regulations we can put in place to strengthen where it can't be consumed, that kind of stuff. But I'm on the fence on... I have my own personal thoughts on it, but I need to look at this holistically for the city. You know, what's our benefit? What's our negative? So I want to. I'd be more inclined to say, let's look at it. Let's get into some of the details before we rule it out.
So if it were structured in your mind properly, you would potentially support it.
I mean, the state's already allowing it, whether we like it or not.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to give direction to the staff. And then that's fine.
Mind it here.
I don't know that anyone here has made up their mind that we want to allow it anywhere.
Right.
And I'm not sure that anyone has their mind made up we should only allow it on Mr. Johnson's farm, 2 miles from the nearest intersection.
Are we talking about everything all at once, or are we just talking about dispensary?
We're talking about the retail. We know the other we have to deal with.
The other stuff.
Yeah. I want to make sure. I don't want them to go on a wild goose chase and find out people are against it.
I just want to know where the farm was.
Oh. You might know. Mr. Peterson, what are your thoughts?
I think I need to learn more about it. I mean, I definitely see the pros. I see the cons. I've had people tell me a lot of the cons, kind of like what you said in California, Colorado, places that are kind of legalized. They're discussing more traffic pros and the cons. I'm a firm believer in learning all the pros and cons before you make an educated decision, right? So I want to hear more of the cons and more of the pros, and more of the, I guess, guidelines and what we could do with it, potentially.
So we could, at least, even if we don't have anything written, we could have this discussion at which committee meeting?
Well,
all three of them? All four of them?
Yeah.
Public Works, Brooks.
The EDC and the Public Safety Committees both meet next week. That package goes out on Thursday. So, this is next week.
Okay. Mr. Cope?
I agree with them. I just think that I'm hoping IML, maybe, if that's coming up here in September, I'm hoping maybe there's some education classes there to help.
Huh. Yeah, good point.
I think there were some scheduled.
Yeah. It's one that I'll take in, for sure.
Okay.
And are you guys concerned that somebody's going to go to a dispensary, jump in their car, light it up, or eat it, or chew it, or whatever, and then take off? I mean, is that what some people are concerned about, too? Is that what you're saying? I mean, you're comparing it to, like, going to... It's not necessarily... The dispensary is probably... I don't know much about it, but it's probably not like going to a bar, right? You go to a bar to sit down with your friends, you have a drink.
Dispensaries have, like, most of the time, the medical establishments have no product available. There's a small little... Usually, like, an iPad with a menu. And everything is so controlled and so rigid on the cultivation and distribution side of things that it's... There's no, like, freebies and samples and people giggling everywhere. And it's all, like, right now in the medical establishment, it's very rigid. This is what it's used for. This is how much your card allows. This, that, the other thing. Also, just from, like, some of the articles that I've read. So, with alcohol, you've got the potential for road sodas, right? And we know that a road soda can negatively impact someone relatively soon after they've cracked it. Well, with the concern with somebody eating it or rubbing it on their skin or ingesting it somehow, other than actually smoking it or vaping it, those reactions tend to take anywhere between a half hour and an hour and 20 minutes, depending on the person. But the idea that somebody's going to come into town because they can't go to somewhere else and buy it and then consume it the second that they acquire it, I don't know, I think that's usually reserved for the youth, whereas people who are planning and they're responsible 21-year-olds, because I know that I was just, you know, super mature at 21. But the idea is to, number one, understand that the state has made a determination and they've spent a whole bunch of time preparing for January 1st. There's a whole bunch of regulations that went into making those medicinal marijuana, those original diagnoses and the original licensing procedures that... Sometimes when you think about all the negative aspects of something, you forget that all of those negative aspects, parallel things that already exist in our community. So again, resisting change because it's just, look, think of all the negatives. You can also think of all the positives, but also think about the things that you can't control. You cannot control 95% of the things that we worry about. So the stuff that we can worry about, time of operation. I would not recommend Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, no nights, no weekends, no holidays, because that's how my compounding pharmacy operates, and there are people that need to pick up their medicine that can't. But that also brings to mind the other licensing option, which is delivery service. Yes. So alcohol delivery is going to be coming down the way. Marijuana delivery is going to be coming down the way. There are ways to shape this to your fears, but there's also a way to kind of say, yeah, we're open to it. We don't have much to show you yet, but we'll see how it goes. And that's kind of the easiest, most honest way of putting it.
Kathy, has
there are a couple
of questions.
When staff, if we say go, staff's going to, you guys have a template, you're going to be getting a template from somewhere, right? So you're not generating all this stuff from scratch. There's already an IML sample ordinance, it's in the packet, actually.
Right.
Yeah, and so we've talked about it. So you're not going to go, but, so the 9 hours is not like going from scratch. I mean, it's not going to be an old jail negotiation.
There are certain restrictions in the state law also. The municipality that allows the dispensing can provide for a consumption on premises. It can also deny and restrict any consumption on premises, which is what I heard. So that will be one of the restrictions. In the law now, you are not allowed to transport marijuana unless it's in a sealed container. And what they're talking about is I am told by someone that knows more about medical cannabis that when you purchase it, it comes into some container that may not be open while you're transporting it, if you're caught like you are with a gun or any
open container.
Open bottle of food. So these are restrictions we can keep piling on to prevent situations that you are suggesting.
I like Mr. Johnson's farm. So, Mr. Frieders, and I don't want to get in a long debate with you, but I think you keep bringing up a point of the medical. The medical and the retail are two different things. So
absolutely.
We have to keep that in mind. This would be a retail establishment where you could go buy stuff, you know, whether it's off a shelf, whatever. It's not going to be quite the control that we see
no.
at the medical side. So, Mr. Koch, you said you're all in. Mr. Plocher?
Yeah, I'm legitimately still in.
Okay, well, Mr.
What? So we're gonna continue these discussions. Would we want to maybe consider, instead of taking it to three different divisions, discussing it here as a whole as things come through?
So, I'm not opposed to that. I mean, I think it could be very cumbersome, but what do y'all think? You know, maybe you bring the zoning here. If the employment law and, well, the ordinance violations, we have to decide how we want to do that. The employment law might actually be the easiest of all. As much as you hate to say it. When is the last time we said that? The employment law was the easiest of anything. So, I'm not opposed to it. Maybe we tackle one thing at a time. Because I'm going to tell you, I don't want to have a three-hour meeting every time to talk about, you know.
No, but if we bring it through a piece at a time instead of taking it to the committee, you've got four of us, and then it comes back out here, and then we rehash it. If we get small bits and pieces of it along the way, it might expedite the process.
Okay, so you're in favor of that. Seaver, what do you think? Even aside from the side you're opposed to, let's just take ordinance violations.
I don't have to vote to support it in any way, shape, or
you can
form.
Vote no. You can vote no if you don't want to support it. So what about the idea of bringing, like, the ordinance violations here, what we want to talk about? Are you okay bringing that straight here and just have that discussion? Jackie? Dan?
Bringing the
discussion here instead of going through committee?
Yeah, that's fine.
As long as we have consent agenda that night for the other stuff, I'm totally cool.
Well, I guess it'll go to committee.
Because we're going to do it in committee, and we're going to do it all over again.
Well, there won't be any jail. Peter, get that thing done. Mr. Plocher, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm okay. I would say, like, a first reading thing. Like, get in their packets and let us read over it, you know, so it isn't, like, just a couple days before.
Yeah.
You know, give us some time. Yeah, like...
Well, I want just so you know where I'm at on this, if we do this, and it sounds like so far most of you are fine with it, I'd bring it forward. I would bring it forward and ask for a vote that night. I'd bring forward, here's what we're thinking about, and maybe next meeting, and following meeting, we're going to vote on it.
Yeah.
I'd want to hash it out. You know, since we're talking about high-level discussions, let's hash it out, right? Ken, you're fine with it?
Jason? That was a twofer.
Twofer? Was that a twofer?
Yeah.
Or another fur? Since we're on a roll here. No pun intended there either. Okay. Bart, we got some ideas. We'll have to talk about just what we want to bring forward first, but we're not going to resolve it.
Yeah, how much can be done by this?
Consume. Yeah, exactly. I mean, we can go with this all night. Okay, well, thank you for the discussion. It was a good discussion. Now for the fun stuff. Public Works Committee report. We have the East Alley parking lot. Oh, there's no action on that tonight. I'm sorry. That we're not quite ready for that.
Oh.
I apologize.
We were missing a three-page easement agreement for the patent materials.
Oh, you all stuck around for that? I thought it was for Mill Road. Okay, the next is the Mill Road resurfacing. Okay, so the county today approved the Mill Road resurfacing, and I'm looking forward in a vote. Where is it? A motion to consent.
Are we supposed to table the East Alley parking lot?
Oh, you want to table it? Just bring it up next.
We need to table it. We
want a motion to table to the next city council meeting.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. I like that. I've been schooled a couple times today by the senior member of the group.
Oh.
Ouch.
It's the years of wisdom she has. Okay, now back to the Mill Road resurfacing. Is there a motion to consent to Kendall County awarding the bid for the Mill Road resurfacing project to Geneva Construction amount not to exceed $140,797.50?
So moved. Motion.
Now, there are, was it Mr. Peterson?
Burzall.
Yes. And then who was second?
All of us. I'm getting covered.
Okay. Just so you were, there were some incentives if they finished earlier, could cost up to $5,000 more?
Yes.
Is that what it was? If they get done by September 30th. So. Okay. Any other discussion?
Can we do that on IDOT with Route 34?
We can ask.
I'll give them an extra $5,000 to get that stuff cleaned up tomorrow.
Well, they said they'll be done by September.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Okay. No other discussion. We'll do a roll call, please.
Frieders?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Schuske?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Chirulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yay.
Motion carries.
Excellent. Thank you. Well, that'll get done this fall. Okay. We have items 3, 4, and 5. But these are all separate, are they?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. So the next item for Grand Reserve Unit 2, a bond release. Can we have a motion to authorize release of the maintenance bond?
So moved.
For a second. That was Grandier. Second. Schuske, any discussion on this? Roll call, please.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Chirulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. And could we get a motion to authorize release of maintenance bond for Grand Reserve Unit 5? Transier? We just did 2, I thought. Is there a second? Second by Milshewski. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Chirulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Wow, very impressive. Okay, next item. Is there a motion to authorize release of the subdivision bond for Casey's with Merchants Bonding Company?
So moved.
Milshewski, second by Chirulis. Roll call, please.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Chirulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Very impressive. Okay, the next item is we need to approve this with 6 votes, I'm told, because this is a sole source bid.
Yes.
So, is there a motion to approve the sole source purchase of a solid-state auto transformer with Eaton Corporation, Glendale Heights, in the amount not to exceed $48,750?
Second.
Chirulis, second by Plocher. Any discussion on this? Roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Chirulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Excellent. Thank you. And this next item also needs 6 votes, as I'm told, in the material storage shed. We have 2 items combined into 1. Is that correct in the motion?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to combine both here. Is there a motion to approve a resolution authorizing the execution of a contract with Light Construction Montgomery for the construction of the Public Works Material Storage Shed in an amount not to exceed $249,700 and to approve an ordinance authorizing the fourth Amendment to the annual budget for the fiscal year commencing May 1st, 2019 and ending on April 30th, 2020 and authorizing mayor and city clerk to execute?
So moved.
Was that Peterson? Nice. Second. Koch?
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Chirulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Yay.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Excellent. Thank you.
We should have cake for that one, Mr. Mayor. We should have cake for that one.
You're welcome to bring it next time.
Duly noted.
Okay, now next item is also regarding the road, but this is for the longer term realignment. Can we have a motion to accept the plats of dedication upon receipt of the final executed documents and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute? A That was Pulcher, I believe.
Second.
Second by Milchewski. And what this is, we need three parcels for Mill Road for the realignment, the ultimate realignment. This is for two of them. We're still working on the third. And this just allows us to accept the plats or record the plats. Okay. Any other questions or comments?
I have a question. Why is this two and three? Is there a holdout for some reason?
We have the third application.
Question.
It was in question because we were waiting to get final engineering comps with the possibility of a, what is it called?
Roundabout.
Thank you. And so then it's been determined that it's not the way to go. We still have problems because it's owned in a trust and you're very difficult to get a hold of. But I'll get back on it. I have to know.
Other questions, comments?
Good question.
Roll call, please.
Tranzier?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milchewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Motion carries.
All right, thank you very much. Do we have an EDC report? See none. Public Safety Committee report? No? I see them. Okay. Public Safety Committee report. Anything? Anyone? Anything you want to bring up? Okay. Admin report. Woo! We got a lot of stuff here. Okay. Is there a motion to, where's that one at? To approve an ordinance amending. Oh wait, do we
let it go?
Okay.
Let's go. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, we still have an executive session.
Yeah,
so a motion to approve an ordinance amending the regulation for solicitors, hawkers, and itinerant merchants, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
So moved.
I heard Greeters, Funkhauser. And this would change the hours of operation. It restricts them a little bit, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And it makes the badge bigger, I believe, right?
Oh, yeah, they get a nice badge, too.
Nice, big, bright, with their picture, our logo.
It would be option 3B in your badge, is what it changes it to.
Option 3B, thank you very much. Well, that, do we need separate motions, or is that, no. Is that part of the motion?
Yes.
It was part of the motion.
Thank you. Yes. There you go, part of the motion. Okay, no further discussion. We'll do a roll call on this.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milchewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Tranzier?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Very nice. Is there a motion to accept the monthly treasury report for June and July?
Second.
All in favor, signify by aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion carries.
Good job, Rob.
Okay, the next one. Is there an ordinance authorizing the 13th? Now we're on the 13th Amendment. To the annual budget for the fiscal year commencing May 1st, 2018 and April 30th, 2019 regarding the Fox Hill SSA.
Second.
Any discussion on this? This requires six or not?
It does.
Okay. And then it requires a roll call, too. Roll call, please.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milchewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Tranzier?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Excellent. Okay. Is there a motion for resolution approving the declaration of trust of the Illinois Trust, formerly known as the Illinois Institutional Investors Trust, and authorizing the execution thereof and authorizing certain officials to act on behalf of the city of Yorkville?
So moved.
Second.
I heard Milchewski and Tarulis. Any discussion? All in favor, signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Is there a resolution approving investment services with the Illinois Public Reserves Investment Management Trust?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Tranzier. Second by, was it Frieders? Any discussion on this? No discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Excellent. Motion carries. Okay. Now this one, I would love to hear some discussion on this. This next item here. Is there a motion to approve the 2019 city survey in questions?
So moved.
Funkhauser, second by Plocher. Any discussion on this, Mr. Funkhauser? Usually you have questions on this type of stuff.
We skipped it.
Right.
And there are a whole list of changes.
We skipped one.
Which one did I skip?
The investment services with the IPRIMT. We did the DTIT from the 3IT. Now we have to do
the resolution.
The resolution.
I thought we did them both.
Didn't we do them both?
We did them both.
Yeah.
No, we didn't.
Yeah.
I'm just
going to be funny. She just says we did both.
Thank you.
Okay, so no questions on the city survey. When will this go out?
We were going to time it. We usually time it with the utility bill. Utility bill is being sent out, which will be in October.
Correct. And how many stabs or bites of the apple are we going to give residents?
I'm sorry.
How many bites of the apple are we going to give residents? Just one?
One per household, although you can call or register and get a second or third password, and as long as you have family members living there that want to take it.
And the closing day will be when?
Fluid, usually.
Okay.
It's been anywhere from 3 months to 6 months.
Okay.
Survey responses.
Excellent.
We're hoping for over 1,000 this year. Out of 20,000.
20,000 people.
5%? It's kind of like an election.
Yeah, for lucky.
7,500. Hoping to double the number.
Hopefully double.
Excellent.
You'll enjoy some of the comments, probably, too.
Oh, I'm already enjoying them. I'm already enjoying them. They don't like my dress. Dan and I are twins today. Okay. No further discussion. All in favor, sing if I may. Opposed? Excellent. Thank you. And the next one we'll do a roll call on. Ordinance amending the salaries for appointed municipal officers. Is there a motion? Funkhauser, is there a second?
Second.
Frieders, you had a question. We got the email back too late. Ms. Milshewski.
Wanted to make sure the camp is getting...
Yeah. Did that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry we got back too late today. I apologize. What's that? Take a note. Please. Any other questions on this? This requires a roll call, please.
Tarullis.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Plocher.
Aye.
Frieders.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Milshewski.
Aye.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Park Board, other than you've got the festival this weekend, Joel ordered your report out. There's nothing. Planning and Zoning Commission, we have nothing from them. Well, the City Council report, we have nothing else there.
Mr. Mayor, I have a really quick one.
Sure.
Three phase, I'll be quick. United City of Yorkville 2019 National Suicide Prevention and Action Proclamation Project. We were 70 when we walked in 20 different states, and I'm happy to report that it's now 71 cities, 5 counties, and 21 states. Henderson, Nevada adopted their proclamation yesterday. I have two events going on next week. September 5th is a Thursday from 5:30 to 8:30 at the Merchandise Mart in downtown Chicago in the Cahan Hayworth Furniture Showroom. I've been invited to speak alongside CEO and founder of Hope of the Day, Johnny Boucher, it's a speaking engagement, but there's cocktails and hors d'oeuvres beforehand and then cocktails and hors d'oeuvres afterwards. It is downtown. A local resident, Anthony Hansen, had been working for Cahan and Hayworth, which are international furniture vendors, and contacted me because of the work of the City of Yorkville. So we're actually doing outreach with close to 300 young professionals, which is really pretty cool in my opinion. And then on that Saturday, September 7th, we have the Conversations Summit at the UIC Forum from roughly 9 a.m. until about 3 p.m. It's free to attend. We have panelists from all over the country, including yours truly, discussing issues centered around mental health. The cool part about this particular summit is that with all the outreach that Hope for the Day does, they've contacted a number of schools in the area, and a lot of the presentations in the earlier part of the afternoon will be done by high school and college students. So we're actually engaging the young people to talk about the things that matter to them now so that they can impact policy changes moving forward. That also being said, last week I was appointed public policy director of Hope for the Day. So I appreciate the support in this type of proclamation project, just for the proof that if you want to do something awesome, ask for permission and then do it. So thank you again for your support. If anybody needs any information on either of those two events, the 2019 National Suicide Prevention Action Proclamation Project, information is available not only on the Yorkville website, if you type in nspamp.com, but if you go on to Facebook and type in National Suicide Prevention, you will find it. Also tonight, in addition to Henderson, Nevada, sending me that information, LaGrange Park adopted at 7:30 tonight, and Berwyn adopted at 8 o'clock. So, Yorkville, you have started a conversation, and I greatly appreciate your support talking about it. If you haven't noticed, I wasn't weepy because I talked about suicide all day. So sometimes you feel better when you talk about stuff. So talk about suicide. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other city council report items? City clerk's report?
No report.
She had a wonderful getaway vacation last week. She reported on that earlier. It was wonderful. Maybe I was supposed to share that, but too bad. Community and liaison reports? None. Staff reports?
Don't
get up and down. Excellent. Additional business?
One quick one.
Yes, ma'am.
Eric, are we done with brush pickup?
We are not.
Okay.
We got slowed down by one district.
Yeah, that's okay. I need somebody from Camberry.
Camberry?
Yes.
I have to see where we're at.
And I have one on Allendale that just messaged me.
Yeah, well, we should
be here. Mr. Funghauser?
On the heels of that, Eric, are we still on for September 2nd or something?
September 3rd, I believe. The 2nd is after.
Later day.
Okay, so okay.
We're going to start on the 3rd, yeah.
Thank you.
Other questions for staff or Eric specifically? Okay, that's fine. Additional business? Citizen comments? They all left. They saw the highlights and they're moving on. So before we adjourn, we do have executive session. Is it for personnel or just litigation?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else? Is there a motion to go into executive session for the purposes of pending litigation? Is that correct?
So
who was that? Peterson? Milshewski? This requires a roll call vote, please.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Bunkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Breeders?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Aye.